despite what's happened with David, I just want to say that, you know, thank God for Yeshua and what Yom Kippur really means and what it really stands for. You see, without what Yeshua did by being the high priest of our faith, then there would be no hope whatsoever. There would be no hope for anybody who really died. The tragedy in the synagogues tonight throughout the city is that, in fact, in the Jewish tradition, usually at Rosh Hashanah, they light what are called memorial candles for the dead, for those in the family who have died. And it's kind of a carry-on of the remembrance of the people. But there's, in traditional Judaism, there's really no hope in death at all. I mean, it is very tragic. It really is. And even though something like this happens to us as a believing community, there is tremendous hope on this kind of Yom Kippur, on this kind of a day, because of what Yeshua did. When he, as Paul was saying earlier, when the veil was rent at Passover, when Yeshua died, the veil was rent. God and man no longer were separated. You know, like death and life, there was no longer that separation any longer, because now life, the life of God, was broken out to everybody. Whoever wanted to come to the Lord, they could have life. And the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so even in the midst of a tragedy of this nature, there's still the hope of God, because David knew Yeshua as his Yom Kippur, as his Kippur, as his atonement. His sins were wiped away without any doubt whatsoever. They were wiped away. And so we can say confidently on this day that David is with the Lord. David is with Yeshua. He's standing in the presence of God this very day with the Lord in the joy and the happiness of God. You know, and that's the one thing that gives us the hope and encouragement, because there doesn't have to be yes, there is going to be natural grief, and that's only normal and it's expected for all of us. And yet, in a non-believing community, it would be a far greater tragedy than what it is. But because Yeshua is our covering, because he's the one who paved the way for us, died for us, he took upon himself everything, so that when we face these kinds of tragedies, there doesn't have to be any ounce of uncertainty as to where we're going. You see, the scripture is abundantly clear. He who has the Son has the life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you, says John, that you may know that you have eternal life, life with God. Death in this life, all death is it's moving from the natural into the heavenlies. It's like, in a sense, for a believer, not for his family, but for a believer, there is no death, you see. For a true believer, because all you're doing is you're just transferring your location. And because what death really means is death means separation. And a person who knows God is not separated from God when he dies. In fact, quite the contrary. He becomes closer to the Lord than ever before. I want to read a scripture that's coming to mind here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to turn to that. Second Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Well, let's begin in chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And I just want to say, everyone, that life on this earth is temporary. Everybody knows that. None of us want to deal with it, but it's temporary for every one of us. But eternal life, but in other words, what is unseen is eternal. We can't see into the heavenlies at this point. We will one day, even in the millennial age. But what is unseen is eternal. And this life with God is something that goes on and on and on. It doesn't end at this life. Let's continue. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are cloaked, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of the Messiah, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And I think the point can be well made here is that as we grow in God, each one of us individually, and as we age in the Lord, I believe God brings us to a place where our real desire is to leave this body and to be with God, you see? Because it's like we enter and we develop over a period of time into such an intimate relationship with God that we suddenly realize that being here is far less, is worse, in a sense, far less better than being with the Lord. And the reason that happens, the reason that occurs in the believer's life is because Yeshua broke the bondage of death and separation from God. When He was the Kippur, the atonement, He broke that separation so that when we tap into Him, we tap into eternal life. So that over a period of time, it doesn't happen in the beginning, and it doesn't even happen now. Because here I am, you know, I've known the Lord for 20 some odd years, and I like this life, you know, I really do. But there's times, I have to say, when I am with God in such intensity, in such closeness, that it wouldn't even really matter if I suddenly just left with the Lord. You see, because of the union, the communion that one can have with God. Now, the only thing that sometimes keeps me back, and it's what Paul often says, is he thinks Paul was, you know, wrestling with this question of whether he wanted, you know, whether he should stay or go before the Lord. And he was wrestling in the wrestling match, and he said, the reason I'm staying is for your sakes, not for mine. Now, you can look at it, I've looked at it at times, and think, well, that's kind of a, you know, selfish thing, or not a selfish thing, but it's kind of a pompous thing, I guess, to say. But it's not really. See, because I know for myself that when I'm in the closest contact with God, that I wouldn't even mind just suddenly being in His presence all the time. But the only thing that's really keeping me is my responsibilities to my family and other things like that. And we have to see the same thing with David, is that, yes, he didn't want to leave. He didn't want to go. He was scared. He was scared yesterday when we talked to him. He was definitely scared. He cried out a couple of times because he felt the breath going out of him, and he was just afraid. But he did know the Lord. And because of that, he's just transferred into that continuous life with God. So there's no more gasping for breath. That communion with God is what has carried him over. I believe God wants us, each of us, to be at that same place. We've got to be ready. Okay, there are no guarantees. I don't believe it was God's will that David go, but he's gone. And it's not God's will, I believe, that any of us here perish in the near future, but we may go. God wants us to be ready. There's only one way to really be ready with God. Number one, you've got to know Him as your personal Savior. And number two is that He wants to develop an intimate relationship with you so that when you go, there's not going to be any fear of going. God wants that intimacy with you, that communion with you. It's just Him and you. When you go without family, folks. You don't have family in heaven, okay? The Scripture's clear on that. Yes, you'll know other people, but you're not going to be married in heaven, okay? It's not going to be fathers and children in heaven. Everybody's going to be in heaven with the Lord. And so it's just you and God. God wants that intimacy with you. Let's just close in prayer. That's all I'm going to share tonight. And I'm going to have Paula sing to close our service. But I just want us to pray. And let's just ask God for that intimacy, that eternal intimacy that only He can grant to each one of us. Lord, I thank You for Yeshua. I thank You that He's our Kippur, Lord God. He's our atonement. Father, He paved the way for us, Lord God, so that we have no fear of death. Lord God, there doesn't need to be any fear of death in any one of us. Yes, it is a tragedy. No, it's never Your will, Lord. But Father, because of Yeshua, He said that I've come that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. And it's not just life on this earth, but it's life forever. And Lord, I pray that everyone will be able to get a grip of You, a grasp of You, even this very night, and to cry out to You, Lord, and to have such communion with You, Lord God, that it wouldn't really even matter, Lord, if any one of us were suddenly taken by You or our lives were snuffed out for some very reason. Because, Lord, for us it would just be a transfer from one life into the next. Lord, we can only have that, Lord, not by the hearing of the ears or the seeing of the eyes or by other people's testimonies or by what we read or anything else. But, Lord, it's only by our experience with You, being one with You. Lord, let me have that relationship. That's such intimate relationship, Lord, that it doesn't really matter. And I pray for each person here that You will grant them that same relationship so that it doesn't really matter, because we're going to be with You, we're with You now, and we're going to be with You without any obstacles or hindrances there. Thank You, Lord, for Yeshua and what He's done on this Yom Kippur. Amen.
The enemy. And God, I just sensed, I was just saying amening, amening all the way through. He wants that intimacy through the Word and through the worship and through being with God in all circumstances, and even at this time of death when we can lift up and say, You are truly God, even in this instance. And we lift up this young lad to You, this young boy right now, and that he is truly El Shaddai, I better go up here because of the background unit. But I would just like to pray for Jamie and Stacy as pastors of this church, that I could just sense in the worship tonight, I could sense you guys have been through bloody battles this year. We haven't kept in touch this year because the Lord has blessed both of our ministries, we in DC with a worship ministry and they here. And yet, when I heard through the Spirit, you guys, this is going to be a tremendous beacon in the days to come. This synagogue just beaming Jesus. And it is a time when the congregation is going to need to pull together and rejoice in the presence of God, because then, only then, can God manifest His presence. Only then can He come powerfully, so powerfully that the priests can't stand to minister, you being the priesthood of the believer. And only then can He come in that power, and can you push back that darkness. And I just encourage you, because sometimes you grow so weary with the weight that you've had to endure, taking step by step by step. But God is present, and He is more than able and willing to come and to minister unto you tonight and the days to come. And now I'm just going to sing, and the Vishomeru, of course, is from the Friday night Shabbat, which calls the congregation to come, to gather together, and then to observe the El Shaddai, from beginning to end, He is the same. And we just put our trust and our faith in the El Shaddai. El Shaddai.